Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor David. We had to call off this morning because I was a little too concerned about people not only getting here, but getting back safely. It's good to be with you this evening. I've decided to do this live. So just a few announcements to start with. First is that just a welcome to whoever is joining us on this video this evening. It's good to be with you. And even if we can't be together physically, it's good to be together virtually. The service for Pastor Raul Halvorsen will be this Saturday, January 3rd at 11 o'clock. It will be followed by a luncheon. And there will also be a service for our member Phyllis Strand on January 10th at 11 o'clock. And that will also be followed by a luncheon. I will be out of the office this week. If you have any needs or pastoral support, please contact Pastor Catherine Rothman. If you need her number, you can call the church office. Just keep in mind that this week there are not many activities going on. There's no Gospel of Uke. There's no Shalom ringers or singers. There's no Shalom peacemakers. There's no Bible study. All of those things will resume the following week. By the way, that next Sunday you will have Pastor Dennis will be leading worship. Okay. As we begin, let's just take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship. Please pray with me. We remember today, O God, the slaughter of the holy innocents of Bethlehem by King Herod. Receive, we pray, into the arms of your mercy all innocent victims, and by your great might frustrate the designs of all of evil tyrants, and establish your rule of justice, love, and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Two readings today. We'll have a reading from Hebrews. Hebrews 2:10 through 18. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those being tested. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And our second reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt to remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Bethlehem saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Egypt, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be with all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's only been a few days since we joined Mary and Joseph beside the manger, welcoming the little Lord Jesus along with the angels and the shepherds. Only a few days since that holy night of wonder and mystery, where the Word of God became human and began his earthly sojourn among us. Only a few days since we heralded the beginning of his eternal reign, of peace on earth and of goodwill to those whom God favors. But now, this first Sunday of Christmas, the shadows of the earthly realm return with a vengeance. The world that could not make room in the guest house for Jesus is now determined to push him out of it. And the agent of the world's rage, Herod the Great, the Jewish client king of Judea. Here is the cold reality of the first century Palestine that Herod ruled over. It was a world of intrigue, lies, and blood. At this point, Herod had ruled at the pleasure of the Romans for nearly 30 years. He had been there in the waning days of the old Roman Republic. He was a very clever politician. He changed sides in Roman power struggles, and he got away with it too, including with the then current Emperor Augustus. He had picked Mark Antony's side in the Civil War, but after Antony lost, he managed to convince Augustus that he was really on his side. So you could get a sense of just how clever he was. He did a very good job of keeping the money flowing upward to Rome. He financed massive building projects, including a major expansion of the temple, and he was unafraid to get his hands dirty. Herod's ruthlessness was so notorious that a saying seems to have circulated, "I'd rather be Herod's sow than Herod's son." Being Jewish, Herod would not have had pork, but killing your son, I guess, was just fine and dandy. He killed several sons, in fact, and he exiled one wife, and he killed another wife. So, very pleasant fellow, for sure. And just to give you an idea of just how brutal and ruthless and glory-seeking he was, the Jewish historian Josephus reported that Herod was so concerned that no one would mourn the day of his death that he concocted a plan to have several political prisoners murdered that day, so that he would have the honor of a memorable mourning at his funeral. So, the massacre of defenseless children is squarely in line with what we know about Herod, as it is in line with the character of our world. We live in a world where children are often treated as expendable and exploitable. Everywhere you turn these days, children are monetized and sexualized on social media and television. In other places, they're kidnapped en masse and removed from their parents and in quasi-official government acts. Many are killed by acts of public violence or in military campaigns. And while we may not be individually at fault for these actions, we do collectively, as a whole human family, bear responsibility for them. They're part of this world's larger anti-human campaign, campaign that is seen in all destructive ideologies that want to elevate a leader or the state or a corporation or a commodity or a technology above the flourishing of humanity. Even at this late stage of life, where disease is rotting him from the inside out, Herod is determined to keep his throne at all costs. At all costs. If Herod had thought he needed to massacre the whole town, the whole country to preserve his power, he probably would have done it. For its part, Matthew's gospel doesn't try to explain away this horrific act. It doesn't try to tell us why God would warn Joseph and wouldn't warn the other parents of Bethlehem. It doesn't justify their slaughter. There's nothing sensible or redeemable about it. What Matthew does do is curious. He points to Jeremiah, back to the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke in poetic language of another mass slaughter, that time at the hands of the Babylonian armies. Jeremiah shows us a picture of the weeping matriarch Rachel from the book of Genesis, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. And Jeremiah portrays her weeping for her children because they no longer exist. The image of weeping Rachel haunted Matthew, as it haunts us today. With such destruction, such grief, such incomprehensible loss, we can wonder where God is. Are we abandoned? Are we left to our own devices? Is this all that reality is? With God, the answer is no. That isn't all that reality is. Jesus, even as a toddler, ushers in a new reality. This reality utterly overturns the old. Jesus is a new kind of king of a new kind of kingdom. This kingdom is radically different from the realms we know of on earth. It's a realm based on generosity, not on greed. It's based on shalom, not on violence. And finally, it is based on love, not on fear. Every other human society, from the most benevolent democracy to the most ruthless dictatorship, has at least a little bit of basis on the power of fear, of what the law can do. Jesus's kingdom is different. There's a thing about this love, it makes us followers of Jesus painfully vulnerable, just as it made our Lord vulnerable. We never operate as followers of Jesus from a position of strength, at least not strength as the world would define it. We can't establish this kingdom by our own power. Neither can we control it or co-opt it for our own use. And those who have tried and who are trying to co-opt the gospel message soon find, sooner or later, they'll find they cannot contain it. They cannot cage it. The gospel message is too intransigent, too wild, too stubbornly resilient to be caged for long. No army can repress it. Just ask the Romans or the Tokugawa shogunate or the rulers of the former Soviet Union. No propaganda film or re-education camp can neutralize it forever. This new reality of God with us in Jesus the Messiah has broken into our world, a world that continues to be hell-bent on going its own way, and reclaims it for himself forever. And Jesus reclaims this world not with an army, not by a revolution, not by violence or even the merest threat of it. The reclamation and redemption of this world is done through the power of self-giving love, a love that was willing to be born into this world, a love that was willing to go to the cross for us, for you and for me. And in that cross, Jesus, who had others die for him before he died for anyone, made complete his identification with the vulnerable ones of this world. Things might seem pretty dark in our world right now, but whatever happens in the next year, we know that Jesus has redeemed this world for his Father God, and that includes us. That includes you and me. Our reading from Hebrews reminds us that we are Jesus' siblings, that he shares everything except for our sinfulness with us. That is what we become in baptism. We become his brothers and sisters. We become his siblings. And because we are baptized, because we are fed by his word and his sacraments, we are empowered to live as his kingdom people forever. Kingdom people are led by love, not just in the abstract, but in the particular. Perhaps beginning with the particular person you may be watching this with right now. Kingdom people know that love casts out fear. And kingdom people know that a deeper reality exists than the one we are often propagandized to believe. That reality is the realm of God, his realm where his love steers both the stars, the Star of Bethlehem, for example, and the human heart. God bless you. May you have a very happy new year. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God's blessing be with you this evening and always. I'll see you guys when I get back. God be with you.